Welcome to the doghouse. Insert intro here.
Yeah.
I thought you'd enjoy that.
Get on a cold, wet Tuesday.
Yeah. It's warm
with
here.
With not a lot of real news.
No.
It's 82 and sunny here.
That's cold and for you.
It is cold.
And I woke up. we had 2 inches of snow here, so.
Which means you really only had a quarter inch.
I was just waiting on that. I knew it was coming.
We missed it. It went north of us. Pennsylvania's getting hammered.
It went north of me too, Phil.
Yeah, everything goes north. Yeah, that's right. Pennsylvania's getting hammered, but Virginia here, we just got the rains. They set up on the mountain there with.
Well, Pennsylvania deserves it.
Yeah, I don't really like Pennsylvania. I mean, I love Pennsylvania. Yeah. Sorry. Is that out loud?
Yeah. Well, we got somebody running today, right? There's an election going on today for someone who wants to represent Nashville and hates the city and says so.
We do?
Yes. There's actually.
Oh, yeah. That was crazy.
I love that. You know, there's nothing like going for a job interview and telling them that you hate the company.
Yeah. I've done that and got the job.
It never worked for me.
I hate everything about you.
Never worked for me. Like,
but I want a paycheck. I hate you, but I want you to pay me.
You know, I think it's all how you say it. You know, my last job interview, right? They were like, what do you think this job entails? And I was like, riding around doing nothing. And they were like, what? And I was like, so I work over there and I see how those guys are. They don't do a damn thing. And they were like, you know, that's not true. And I was like, but that's what everybody says.
Yeah, right.
And they gave me the job anyway. So whatever.
That's a win, I'd say.
Yeah. You know, why lie to people? What are you thinking of tell? I have no idea.
Yeah. Warren, when was the last time you had a real job interview?
When I got hired on with the Treasury Department.
So how many years ago was that?
It's been a while.
Probably
13, 14 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It hasn't been quite that long for me, but it's like, yeah. I mean, does anybody go to an interview and not tell them exactly what you expect they want to hear?
Me?
Yeah, I know.
Well, based on all the stories you hear about the Generation Z going for job interviews, yeah, they don't know what they want to hear.
You think so?
That's just the anecdotal stuff you see on the internet.
You guys assume bosses know what they want in employees, and
they don't.
Yes, they do. I don't agree with that. I've had to hire thousands of people over the years, and I know exactly what I want an employee. I want you to be just like me.
No, you don't.
Yes,
because I have worked with you and I've seen you work. And no. If somebody treated you the way you treat employees, you would flip out.
Or no, I would. You're wrong. I would totally respect
them. If your employees did to you what you did to others, you'd fire them. So you don't want you.
I'm okay with that too. I'm okay with that too. I would still be entertained while they were getting their way, you know, working their way to getting fired. I would respect it. Tell me you haven't fired somebody that you totally respect the reason they were fired. Right?
But you don't want you. You want this like weird hybrid that's not really you.
Well, okay, but you say that people don't know what they want. I'm telling you, that's what I want. And maybe I know I never get it, right? And I don't ever expect that I'm going to get it. But I want to find somebody who's at least that thinks the way I think, that has the same ethics I have, which means none. That's what I'm looking for. Okay.
Yeah, a mini-me. You want a mini-me.
Yeah, more or less. More or less.
Now, you can't get that with Phil because it'd be a maxi-me.
That is true.
Whoa. I'm not sure why you're thinking I'm a maxi anything, but that just sounds terrible.
It does. It sounds very insulting.
It sounds terrible.
It was slightly intended that way.
Now, you know, before the show gets over with, I heard, Phil, that you actually had a couple items you wanted to bring up.
Oh, yeah. So there's a couple things I don't understand. But that's just because I'm probably an idiot. I don't know. So, Warhorse HBSK Racing there, or whatever they are, country's best.
I think you got it exactly right.
Moto America's Ducati team.
No. We're not saying that. We're just saying Warhorse HBSK. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because there's other Ducati teams in Moto America. And
now.
Well, there was, anyways. They went and signed Cam Bouvier and Brandon Smith. And Brandon Smith ran like Super Sport and Stock 1000 stuff. And maybe Hooligans. I don't remember. He's running a bunch of different classes. And that's their two-rider team for Superbike next year. Two-rider team for Superbike. So the last couple of years, they've had one guy, which was old Josh Herron, out there all by himself.
Yep.
So then that also means old Josh Herron, and I'm saying old Josh Herron, I don't mean like old Josh Herron. I'm just saying old Josh Herron.
Yeah. No older than Bouvier, I don't believe.
No.
Same age. They're contemporaries.
Yep.
Old Herron there was jobless or had, you know, it's Herron, so he always had something in the works. So Herron signed with Ray Hall, Letterman, whatever the other L is, Ducati.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I did hear that. Yep.
Right.
But in Super Sport. In Super Sport, yeah.
Which I figured would piss you off. But it looks like
you are right about that. But
I am,
go ahead.
I know I am.
Yep.
But it looks like they're gonna they want them for a Superbike team in 2027. I just don't think they were expecting to have him because PJ Jacobson's gonna be on their Superbike. And it sounds like they're gonna have two Superbikes next year.
Who would have thought you would have cut someone who had performed so well for you for the last 3 years, 4 years? 3 years.
I mean,
two championships, a couple Daytonas.
Right. But Ray Hall Letterman's looking forward to winning the Daytona 200.
Yep.
Bouvier does have more Superbike championships than Herron.
He does.
Right. I don't know what Brandon Smith's thing.
Brandon Smith is not a star. They didn't sign him because of his star capability.
Yeah,
he probably
that's what
bought.
I'm saying.
They probably hired him because they can get him for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah,
and he does have potential.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Maybe, but he still only costs you pennies. Well, he's proven that he doesn't.
But that leaves a couple questions. It's number one, who's on the BMW that Bouvier is coming off of, which we know
haven't
is a
heard
capable
yet.
Bike. We haven't heard anything.
Yet. Oh,
but
yeah.
Herron dropping back to Supersport again.
Again.
Then to move back up to Superbike again. I kind of feel, but that seems to be the growing trend. And then I was wondering, you think Westby's going to end up on the Titler's BMW? That's who I would guess. That's the only way I can see
why doesn't
into Superbike.
Maybe you can answer this question. Maybe you can't. Okay. Why isn't Ray Hall running a Superbike team?
They have They were prepared to run one Superbike team this year, and that was PJ Jacobson.
Right.
They announced that during the season last year that they were building a Superbike to have a Superbike team next year. When you read the press thing, it was like Josh Herron fell into their lap, and they wanted to sign him. So they didn't sign someplace else and that they were going to build a second team for them, but they're just not ready to do it. Like they don't have.
I don't know why. Is it a money? Is it a financial commitment?
Could be.
Probably.
Could be.
Because I mean, if they're going to build one for PJ Jacobson,
Ray Hall Letterman,
just duplicate it.
Right. But Ray Hall Letterman also, you know, they run a IndyCar and they just signed Mick Schumacher, who's Michael Schumacher, who's like a 9-time Formula One champion son, to their IndyCar. And he's going to run the whole season, which is considered in open wheel racing like a huge, huge signing.
Oh, really?
Like that came out of like left field because people thought he was just going to stay in Formula One. And now he's moving to IndyCar. So Ray Hall Letterman looks like they're building up to build big teams, right? In open wheel racing, maybe Moto America. I don't know.
I get it. I totally get it in Formula One and IndyCar, right? I totally get it. Those are prototypes. I don't get it in Moto America. In Moto America, those are production bikes. The only things that they can do anything about on those bikes, like suspension tweaks, that's it. I mean, they have to run a stock frame. They have everything is pretty much a stock bike, and there's, you know, they can change the preload.
What if Ray Hall Letterman's testing the waters, right? To maybe one day do an American-based MotoGP team. I mean, they've run Formula One.
That's like a world of difference, though.
I understand, but you still have to get your feet wet somewhere.
Yeah, but I would be curious. Well, maybe you know the answer to this. I would be curious if Ray Hall's IndyCar is pretty much something that they're buying almost, because you can get IndyCars
They've had IndyCar for a long time.
Yeah, but that's not what I mean. What I'm saying is, are they buying somebody else's chassis? Right, McLaren, for example, are they buying a McLaren chassis and they're just throwing their stuff on it?
I don't know who. I'll be honest with you. Since the passing of King Dave, I've watched a lot less IndyCar.
Yeah,
you know, I watch a lot of like American Le Mans series. Well, what do they call it? They just call it IMSA now, right? I watch that, but I've watched a lot less IndyCar because, honest to God, it just makes me a little sad watching it. I'm like, I miss King Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk like I know what I'm talking about because I really don't. Yeah. But that was one of the things about IndyCar, and it certainly hasn't stopped me. That was one of the things about IndyCar. IndyCar made a transition when they went from the old style, you know, AJ Foyt, Al Unser style.
Yeah.
Indy cars, they went to the newer types of cars, and they were all based on, I think there was only like three chassis makers. Yeah. There was only a couple two or three engine makers, Cosworth, Honda, and I don't know who else. I can't remember. But you could assemble a car. If you had the money, if you could go out and spend $500,000 on a motor, you know, you could do it.
I don't know. I didn't know we were going to be going that far into IndyCar, so I don't really know. I didn't really look into that. I thought it was interesting at a time where I think racing in the U.S. is hurting. So I heard some interesting stats. I was talking to Ken and all three of us have friends at Downey's who are big into road racing, right? And I helped them fix one of their hot water heaters this weekend, and we were kind of sitting there talking. And they were talking about how IMSA is drawing more views, like more television views than NASCAR right now. And like I look at the trends on races being watched on TV, and they're plummeting. The only one that's growing is IMSA. And I mean, you can't even find Supercross on television anymore, right?
It's easy.
Right, which was the biggest going thing. Flat track's gone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that, you know, you're exactly right. Supercross is sometimes on Peacock, sometimes on NBC, sometimes on Hulu, sometimes on USA, sometimes, I mean, you can't find it. You can't watch it. Your ratings plummet.
And the only ones that I see being consistent is IMSA, but the fact that IMSA is drawing more television audience than NASCAR, I'm just shocked that Ray Hall Letterman is investing into motorsports that much.
Yeah, but that's sort of like, isn't that Ray Hall? That's his background,
that's,
right?
That's their bloodline. I mean,
that's what he was. He was an IndyCar. He's an IndyCar champion, right? Bobby Ray Hall. So.
Yeah.
And it may just be that's always been his dream to run an IndyCar. And I can't fault the guy for that, right? But it doesn't explain why, to me, and there might be a rational explanation that I just don't see for why they're going to spend the funds for a super sport team for 1 year with the thoughts that you're going to bring Josh Herron back in 2027 to run in Superbike.
Because the team's already there. They were looking for a rider anyway.
Like I said,
if
money's no object, which it effectively has to be for Moto America to exist, you build two. You don't build one. You build a second bike for him. And
Yeah. What I just heard Phil say is they had a open bike. If that's right. Not putting words in your
PJ,
mouth.
PJ, they moved up. He was moving his suit. They were building a super bike for PJ Jacobson.
Yeah.
They didn't announce that.
Yeah, no, yeah. And I get that. And so I'm saying,
they had
why not build
two? Seat on Super Sport, and I think Herron just fell into their lap.
I get that. I totally get that. But what would be if your goal is to build a super bike team, two riders collecting data is better than one rider any day of the week.
Uh-huh. Okay. But right, and I'm just throwing butts out there. You're now 2 months from the Daytona 200, right?
Yep.
You're also
5 months from the start of the season.
There's a big difference between taking two, three teams to a racetrack and four teams, right? Four sets of bikes, right? Like it starts becoming a logistic things like, oh, now we probably need another trailer truck. We probably need this, right? It's more
I'm sure there's some sort of a logical explanation out there that I just can't see.
I'm just speculating.
It just seems to me that, and maybe because of the lateness of it, that's why they said, hey, look, we already got the Super Sport team in place, and then we're just going to do that, right?
That's what I would go with.
Right? And yeah. I also...
But the part of it, which I had admitted that I still hate and I don't like, is, again, here we go again. Let's put a Moto America Superbike champion back into Super Sport. I like that even worse. Because this is a guy that's been a champion, and you're doing that. And I, nothing against Josh Herron. We love Josh Herron on the show, but, develop young riders. That's what Super Sport's for.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
It's not a seat warmer type, thing. So,
but it's been that way for at least the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
I think it goes
become more and more that way. Over time, since Moto America took over, it was never that way during the AMA days. Never. It was always a development series.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to disagree with you.
Yeah. So, me, it's not a healthy trend. It's not a healthy trend for the series because, you want to try and build up the youth, right? That's the reason for the lower series is to do it. It's not supposed to be a place you park people in. Yeah. When Scholes went there, I said, well, they're doubling down on the problem that they already have. But, I guess teams make decisions, how they want to spend their money. So,
yeah. Hey, Phil, since you were up on this a little bit, did they keep, Yakov on her seat?
Yeah. Yeah. She's staying on her seat.
Okay.
Right. So she's staying. So PJ's bike was open, right? I think that's why they just grabbed Herron and was like, here's a ride for you next year, blah, 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 blah. I would say that I just found this all interesting in the same week that I saw that Harley's starting to announce that they're going to be closing deal or that dealerships are closing up.
Oh, they have
been. Sales are bad, right? And stuff like that. And it's like, here's a big multi-million dollar investment into motorcycling, and motorcycling is struggling.
Yeah, there's a couple of things.
The bike's not selling
is one.
Yeah.
The other one is that Harley, under Zeiss, the last CEO who just lost his job recently, he was forcing all the dealerships to invest a lot of money to upgrade their facilities to become... And I'm putting words in his mouth, but it fits what I'm saying is more boutique to be more, we want more Gucci. We want Harley Davidson to become Gucci, not just to be a bike for anybody. So that was their philosophy under the old guy. And a lot of dealerships said, no, we're not doing that.
Well, Warren,
they quit.
Their pricing structure has pretty much made that a fact.
Yeah, I agree with
you. Okay. It's ridiculous how expensive Harley Davidson motorcycles are these days.
And it was a direct result of Zeiss as CEO. Yeah. That was his plan.
But they're never going to go back. They're never going to be affordable for the average guy.
No, it's too late now.
Too late. Yeah. So I'm in Florida. I'm in Florida, so there's Harley Davidson dealerships everywhere. But I have a very large one right here where I live. And in the time that I've been here, which is now, I guess, about 16 months or so, maybe a little bit more, that dealership, I pass it all the time. And one of the things I've noticed, especially on the weekends where it's very noticeable, is that they're dying. They're shrinking. The number of motorcycles and cars parked in their parking lot is just continuously going down. It's been going that way for as long as I've been here. And it's noticeable. And I keep thinking, why? I a couple of times I thought they were closed. It was empty and on a Saturday afternoon. And I thought they were just closed.
I live by the entrance to Skyline Drive. Warren will tell you he used to live in the same town here.
Yeah.
Right? Like summers used to just be packed with motorcycles here.
Yeah.
Packed. This summer, it was like a desert. There was like not many, you know, there was the occasional group run through, but it used to be, you know, I work on road construction as my real job. I'm on the side of the road every day for 5 hours or so,
right?
You know, standing out in traffic somewheres. And, you know, especially if I was working along the routes leading to Skyline Drive, you know, summertime you'd get 15, 20 bikes a day past you just being in one spot on a little side road or something. You know, sometimes on Fridays and Saturdays and stuff like that more. This summer, man, if I saw 3 to 4 bikes a day, it would be a lot. And a lot of them were like town guys just riding back and forth. You know what I mean?
Well, this is actually, we've mentioned this a number of times in this show, the shrinking motorcycle ridership in this nation. But one of the things we've never really talked about is why. Why do you think, Warren, that it's shrinking so drastically? Is it the aging of the population?
Well, of course that's part of it, but that's not the whole thing. Is that, you know, if you look behind the numbers, there's not a lot of mini bikes sold anymore. You got e-bicycles are being sold at higher numbers and higher rates than mini bikes are, because they can ride those anywhere. I mean, no police department's going to pull you over for riding the e-bike down the sidewalk. But if you ride a mini bike down the sidewalk, they're going to pull you over in a heartbeat. So that's that, you know, so the kids that do go outside, get away from the video games and do go outside, they're riding e-bikes. They're not riding motorcycles. They're not riding mini bikes.
Yeah, it's true. I see a lot of them. And then
when they hit their 20s and their 30s, they seem to be riding these e-scooters everywhere, not even the bicycles. I mean, way out here in, you know, even more rural than Front Royal, I see man bun guys riding around on scooters all summer here. And it just blew me away.
How many years have you been on this show that this is the first time I actually heard you say something insightful?
Give him that one. Take both of them again.
Hey, it was a compliment.
and it was actually fact bait. Well,
here's one for you and one for you both.
I mean, if we're throwing jams, I'm going to throw. You know, here's one other thing that what I see, and it's kind of along the same thing as Warren is like, I think as more and more places become developed with more and more houses, you're seeing less and less places for kids to ride dirt bikes.
That's not true here where I am, though. There's a ton of places to ride off roads around me.
You're getting more New Yorkers down there, and they're going to want to clamp down on everything because that's what they do.
We don't get so many New Yorkers around here. This is Florida, man.
That because, you know, there is a New Yorker on the staff here.
I
see less and less. I see less and less of that. I see less and less of, you know, I'll be honest with you. I can't tell you the last time I saw a sport bike club ride by. I live at the entrance of Skyline Drive.
Yeah, I saw a couple the last year. Last summer I was there. I saw several.
Yeah, but this summer I didn't see any sport bike clubs go through. Like, I know there's a Ducati club that does rides every Sunday morning, right? They don't come out.
Well, you also got to remember, and this has just recently changed, as in like a couple weeks ago, to ride on Skyline Drive, it costs a motorcycle $18. Or if you bought one of the passes, you could get in for the year for one motorcycle. They just recently changed it. A single pass is good for two motorcycles. That might help a little bit, but Skyline Drive's prices out, you know, price itself. I mean, there's a when it, the last few times I rode it over the last couple of years, there wasn't even a lot of cars because they priced themselves out. It's not cheap to go up on Skyline Drive. No. And if you want to buy a burger or get something to eat or drink, it's going to cost you a $100 bill before you even put gas in your tank.
Yeah. And I think economics has something to do with the downturn in motorcycles. Man, the prices Harleys are selling for.
Yeah, that explains to me the death of Harley. That explains to me the death
Indians
of Harley.
Right there. Indians the same price.
Yeah, no, I get that. But what I don't
the Honda Goldwing same a price.
I have an area literally 3 miles from my house called the compound. It is I don't know how many tens of square miles of undeveloped area, which used to be a big problem they had was that's all private property, right? But it's never been policed until recently. And it used to be dirt bike riders out there every weekend. They created jumps. They had all kinds of stuff. I mean, there would be 300-400 motor, you know, off-road motorcycles going through that area. It's a huge area. Literally, you could ride all day long and never see somebody you know out there. That's dropped off dramatically. Part of that, the reason for that is I know that they're policing it more because as building has moved closer out towards that, you get complaints and people complain about the noise and things like that.
People from New York.
That's right. People from New York. But without that hugely cuts into the available riding area. There are more areas, but you know, that was a place that people going back into the 60s rode all the time, you know? So I think all those things. And I do think you're right. Pricing is a thing, but because even dirt bikes are not cheap anymore.
No, they're, but, and it's not cheap. It's not cheap to go e-bikes to someplace to ride, right?
No.
Like
you got to have a truck.
There were farm fields. There were farm fields and there were like some drainage sumps and stuff like that and some pine barrens to ride in and some woods and stuff, right? So we had places. Now that's all being developed. You can't do that. And like Warren said, you got to buy a pickup truck. There's 60 grand.
Yep.
Right?
Well, and there was also a secondary thing to this that I was going to get to, but we went on a tangent there, is there's another class of recreational vehicle that is especially in rural areas like where I grew up in West Virginia. There's much fewer motorcycles being sold, but side-by-sides and four-wheelers, I mean, you can now ride them on the highway in West Virginia. It's a two-lane. You can't take them on a four-lane. But you're allowed to legally drive them on the two-lane road.
Yeah,
we have trails, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, we have that here, too, and I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I do see more of them, especially side-by-sides. I see a lot more of them all over the place down here all the time. I get them behind my house all the time, like literally right behind my house because I got a canal behind my house. And on the other side of the canal from me,
I can see him running out the back door with the megaphone going, "Get on my lawn."
No, I throw rocks, but there's a flat area for the service trucks from the city to go through there. And I see, you know, side-by-sides going through there all the time.
Yeah, I think the two-wheel world is kind of falling apart, not because people don't enjoy the freedom. I think they just enjoy that the side-by-sides are taking it away. There's less places to ride. It's become more expensive. It's more expensive to get your kid into motors, you know, into riding. I don't know. My thoughts.
Yeah, well, I think that's fair.
Yeah, but at the same time, side-by-sides are more expensive than motorcycles.
They are, but more people can use them or feel comfortable using them.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yep.
Yep. Anyway, this has been the Doghouse here on IndianRadio.com. Also, Spotify and other places you can podcast, Apple, whatever.
iTunes. Is it even called that anymore? Is it still called iTunes?
I don't know.
It's Apple Music and Apple Podcasts. Apple Music and Apple Podcasts. We will be on Apple Podcasts.
It's all over the place. I don't know. You know where to find us. We're there.
It's all over the place.
All right. We'll be back next week. Who knows what we're going to talk about.